Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now I'm going to do a little bit of a repeat from this morning. I did the 8:30 service this morning. How many of you were not here Wednesday night? It's no condemnation. I just, from a teacher's point of view, I need to know. That's what I thought. All right, now listen. Now there is no condemnation. If you're going to go into revival, Dave taught us years ago. Okay, you know, we have roof questions. We want to know answers to big things. My ultimate roof question for Gary, I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. My ultimate roof question is, how do we get Tommy Perez out of the wheelchair? Tommy Perez, as most of you know, is the son of our good friend, Tommy and Lynn Perez, lives in Long Island. Tommy has a cerebral palsy, 38 years old now. I have prayed, Sue has prayed, Christy Smith has prayed, Aaron has prayed, their mom and dad has prayed. Everybody we know has prayed. And at this point, none of us can get Tommy out of the chair. And I don't know anywhere that we can take him. When I say get him out of the chair, I mean restored 100%, like Jesus would if Jesus walked in the room. Where Tommy can come here and give his testimony from this platform about how Jesus healed him. That's my roof question. That's what I want to know. To me, that's the litmus test. We're not in revival till that happens. Okay, but if that happens for one, it can happen for any. You remember when the 4-minute mile, you probably don't, none of you are old enough, maybe a few of us remember. Remember that? It was the great barrier. Nobody would ever break the 4-minute mile. Nobody could run a mile. And everybody tried. Boy, I mean, they were always just trying and trying and trying, and nobody, they'd get close, but nobody could break it. And then finally somebody broke it, and then everybody broke it. So, there's something about man when he finds out something is possible. Oh, I can do that. God said to me, when we're walking in the real revival, we will look back on these days and we will laugh that we ever thought it was so hard. Man, I hold on to that word. I hold on to that. Well, the reason I'm saying this about the services, I'm not saying you have to be there, but Dave says, in order for God to be able to give you a roof question, or give you an answer to a roof question, you have to have the foundation and the walls of understanding in you to be able to support that. Otherwise, he just can't give it to you. Well, we're coming into a season where I believe every message is important. Every one of them is like a brick or a beam needed to support what's coming. And as a teacher, I'm just looking at the people that weren't here at 8:30 and I'm wondering, how am I supposed to proceed? How am I supposed to build on what I taught at 8:30? And I don't mean any condemnation. As a teacher, what am I supposed to do? See? So just know that either come, or thank God the messages are all free at the internet. You can get them that way, or somehow. But if you don't wind up getting your answers to your roof questions, it's not my fault. Boy, nobody amen. Did you notice that, Mike? Nobody amen. They're going to blame me, Mike. They're going to blame me. No, it's not. Not Dave's fault. It's not anybody's fault. We're doing our best to make everything free so that nobody on that day can point a finger here and say, well, they had it, but I couldn't afford it. Uh-uh. Not on your best day. It was free. So I just recommend to you now. Yes, sir. Boy, he loves you guys. So we're going to do a quick review. Wednesday night and Sunday morning here, real quick, hopefully. And really, we're going to go back a little farther than that. Now, for this season, we are in a transition season. If you can't sense that, pray or something. Pray and fast or something. I mean, we are in a transition that's going so rapidly. I feel like I'm hanging on to the Holy Spirit's coattails trying to... He's taking us so fast now, you know, and trying to understand these things. And It's just walking as the sons that we really are, whether you're male or female, walking as the sons that we really are in the kingdom, what God would call normal kingdom business that is absolutely impossible to the natural man, but they are not impossible to us, for God has given us the spirit that can be taught these things, for they are spiritually discerned. Amen? Glory to God. There's a good book on that I'd recommend to you. What was the name of that book? Oh, yeah, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power by Dave Roberson. How the mysteries of God can be, how you can understand them yourself. Now, I want to start with this. Just in case, how many have not seen what I call the hula hoop message? No condemnation. There's one, two, three, four. Okay, we didn't actually title it the hula hoop message. It's from a few weeks ago. We called it Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. That one you need to see somehow. The video is at GaryCarpenter.org. It's at DaveRoberson.org. It is at IctusNet, what? IctusNetLive.com. Did I say it right? You need to watch that one. I have tried. I listened to it myself, just the audio. Even I couldn't get it. You got to see that one. Okay. There's too many visual demonstrations in it. It is so simple, yet it is so profound. It has opened. If I'm a clock, it got all the gears moving again. I mean, it's like I've been crunching on good things ever since. It's just the way I'm wired, and I can tell from other people. I taught on this. I told him Wednesday night. I was down at my friend Joel Ortiz's church. Okay, from this point on, I'm not in charge. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. He wants you to know this. Joel Ortiz, when I first met him down in Florida in 1998, was on his worst day, one of his worst days ever. And I always forget if it was Assemblies of God or Church of God, but whoever it was, they had just pulled his preaching papers that day because he would not quit preaching that you can pray in tongues anytime you want to. And he knew Dave's message and was preaching that message. And they said, if you don't stop, we're going to pull your papers. Well, they did, because he wouldn't stop. So the day I met him, he walked into Pastor Bronk Flint's office, and I'm sitting there. And he walks in, and you can just tell there's a cloud hanging over him, you know. Well, what's going on? And he says, well, they pulled my papers today, and they took my church away. I'm a man with no ordination. I have nowhere to preach. Well, what have you been doing? Well, I had a little bit of money left, a few hundred dollars, and so every one of those elders that voted me out, just to make sure that there's nothing in my heart, I've been sitting down with what little money I have left, and I wrote each of them a thank you for their help over the years and writing them a check just to bless them and to make sure that there's nothing in my heart in resentment. Now, Bronk was listening to this. Bronk knows him. I don't know him. Bronk says, with the most biggest deadpan face you ever saw in your life, he says, that's really a good thing to do. I'm impressed that you would do that on the very day that they would take away your papers, he said. But I need to let you know this, Joel. Whatever bad things they've said about you, I've said twice that bad. You need to write me a check twice as big as any of that. There is a humor that is a healing humor. That cloud lifted. The whole atmosphere in the room changed, and Joel was on receiving from that point on. He left there a changed man. Now, let a few years go by, say roughly, how long has it been, 1998? Because he's had those churches now for quite a few years. Let's say 10 years. Maybe, I don't even know if it was that long. Well, now, and it's been this way for quite a while, Joel has a 400-member church in Fort Myers. He has a 300-member church in Naples. He has a big church in Guatemala. He has a church in Mexico. He's got a small church in Immokalee that doesn't compete with Pastor Bronk because Joel's is Spanish-speaking and Bronk's is English-speaking, you know. And plus, man, you go to their place. These people, they know how to worship God. I started out Southern Baptist. We were lucky if we had a piano. Then I got around Pentecostals, and they not only had a piano, they might have a guitar. And if they're really radical, they might have some drums. You know. And I thought, man, we are pushing the edge. Oh, you ain't seen nothing. You go down there and they got all that. Then they got trombones and they got two trumpets and they got a big stand-up bass and they got congas this tall and they got bongos and they got everything in the world. They got dancers and twirlers and even the young people come out and they're all for 2 hours. Anyway, so we asked Joel after seeing how, 10 years later, all of this stuff that's going on. I said, how in the world, the first time I met you, you had nothing. I mean, you were at zero. How do you attribute a 400-member church in Naples and Fort Myers? What happened? Now, I'm not making fun. I'm trying to speak in Puerto Rican accent, and it's terrible. But he says, Kitty, he said, I just pray, and look what the Lord do. He said, I just pray. And I obey what he say. And look what the Lord do. He's like the poster child for this works. It's amazing. It's amazing, you know. Anyway, I preached that message, the one I'm calling the hula hoop message, the one that's really called Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways down there, Friday night in the Fort Myers. And with an interpreter, you only get to say half as much because it takes half the time, right? But still, as a teacher, you can tell when the lights go on. Boy, the lights went on. They got it. Then Joel was so excited. Now, they worshiped for 2 hours. They handed me the microphone to start teaching at 9:30. All right, white church, what time is church over? Especially on a Friday night. 9. They hand me the microphone at 9:30, tell me to preach 1 hour. I'm real punctual. 10:28, I've noticed. I handed him the microphone back. Well, he got so excited about that message, he preached for 30 more minutes himself. So now, I handed it to him at 10:30 roughly. Now it's 11 o'clock. And then he says, oh, we got to take up an offering for Gary. So they take up an offering. And now it's 11:20. And he says, I'm thinking, okay, and they pick me up at the motel. I'm at their mercy. I have no way. I can't drive back to the motel, see, so I got to wait on them. So then he says, oh, it's 11:20. I'm thinking, okay, I get to go to the motel. He goes, oh, no. He says, I haven't told Gary yet, but I want him to pray for everybody in the church. There's 400 people there. So it's 12:30, and I'm thinking now, finally, I pile myself in the car. Go out to the driveway. The motel is that way. And they turn the car that way. He wants to go to Denny's. He's all wired. He's pumped up. We go to Denny's restaurant. We're in there eating tilapia and rice at midnight, talking about God. And he's having a vanilla shake. I'm sorry, Dave. I haven't got him converted yet to strawberry. But by the time we finally get back, I look at my watch. It's 3 a.m. 4 hours later, God woke me up supernaturally, and I drove for 13 straight hours coming back home. Hallelujah. Yeah. God's amazing. All right. This message, the same one that I taught here, I taught there, I'm telling you, it is going to it is changing my life. It is changing the reality of all of these things that we've been teaching about for years. My expector is gone through the roof. You know what I mean by expector? I am anticipating at every moment God is going to do something. Amen? All right, it's going to happen to you too. I really recommend that message, Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. Watch it in video if you can. It's available all three of those websites. I'll just go ahead and tell you this too. Again, and I already gave up charge of this. In all my life, I have never gone to a conference like we did in Dayton, Ohio. Dave, have you ever seen me do that before? I had 4 services, and basically I taught the same message 4 times. Now, how important is this? Now, he did bring out little different flavors at the end of it, but I basically went through that same message 4 times in 4 days. So, okay, did I say enough? I would ask you to promise me you'd listen to it, but I don't want to do that. During that conference at the gyms, this tongue and interpretation came through me. I've printed it out now since the morning service. Mysteries hidden. Mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and this generation, to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits, with good intentions, by men that loved me, but were deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world, and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher. And let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from. Whew. In Isaiah 55, you don't have to turn there, verses 8 and 9, the Lord starts talking like this. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. When he started dealing with me on this along this line, see, if we went to Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Really, we're pretty renewed in a lot of areas. You don't think about sin the way the world thinks about sin. You don't think about abortion the way the world thinks about abortion. You don't think about adultery and reveling and all of those things the same way the world does. In many ways, our minds are renewed. And I didn't realize I was actually a little bit cocky about that. So the Holy Spirit had to take me down a peg. The Holy Spirit ever take you down a peg? And so he got to asking me one day. He says, well, now if it would have been your mother, and you were at the wedding feast at Cana, and your mother turned around to you and said, hey, they're out of wine, what would have been your first thought? And I don't know if I can say this in church, but I'm going to. Where's the nearest liquor store? You know, we got to buy wine. Or where's there a winery? I mean, my thinking would have been in the natural. It would not have been, well, bring me some water. We'll just change the chemical composition of H2O plus grape. You do know there is no grape in H2O. This is a creative miracle. There is no grape in it. It's not something you can... H2O, you can't convert that without something being added. This is a creative miracle. Something was there that was not there before. He says, does your mind automatically default like that? I went, no, sir. What about the feeding of the 5,000? You know, they've been with you. And there's really plus women and children. So we've got 10 to 15,000 people. Says, the disciples, they had a good idea. They said, they've been with us 3 days out here already. They're hungry. We need to go into town and get some groceries. Gary, what would have been your first thought? Y'all are going into town. You're going to Quick Trip, are you? Hey, get me a ham and cheese on rye while you're there, you know. In other words, my thinking would have been right to the natural, just like their thinking was in the natural. What God's talking about now is that we start allowing our, thank God for the renewing of the mind that we've had to this point. See, and really Jesus' default position was not bring me water. It was not bring me loaves and fishes. Jesus' default position was, Father, what do you want to do? Father, what do you want to do? That's his default position, and that's got to become our default position. Father, what do you want to do? But now his answer coming back, sometimes his answer coming back is just not what you expect. You know, Father, how do we feed these 5,000? You're thinking a gospel entrepreneur is going to walk up with a big check. And he says, no, take some loaves and fishes, pray, bless them, pass them out, feed the multitudes. And we go, what? Because see, that's totally different from our natural mind. There's nothing in our world, our natural world, that can even, see, we are serving this God who does exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or think. And that higher thoughts and higher ways, that little illustration really cemented that for me. Dear Lord, we can't even think. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't even think what to ask. His realm where he lives is so different from our realm and where we live. We can't, if those of you that seen it, you remember the Flatlander guy? The little Flatlander? I mean, In his word, flatland means flat, like a sheet of paper. There's length and there's width, but there's no heights and no depth. Well, he lives in flatland, and he knows all the physics of flatland, and he can maneuver, and he's been to Flatland University and knows what's possible in flatland, and he's even been to Flatland Seminary and knows what's possible with God, you know, and that's where I bring out the hula hoop. He's fine until he comes up to this hula hoop problem, because in flatland there is no height or depth, and now he's got a barrier. He wants to get to the center where that hula hoop is, laying on the floor there, but he can't because it's a closed loop. There's no way he can go around it. All he understands is length and width. He can't even think height. The concept of height, like to step over something, to us is so simple, but to a flatlander, he couldn't even think that. That's how we are with God. We can't even think it. It's so... Now, but for the three-dimensional guy, you remember what he did? He just walked over there, picked the guy up, moved him to the center, and set him down. And we're all going, everyone in Flatland would go, ah, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. He was there, he disappeared, we don't know where he went, and then he reappeared in the middle of the... it's a miracle! And the Earthlander guy goes, oh, brother, it's pretty normal stuff where I'm from. And God's going, opening blind eyes? You have no idea how simple that is. This is pretty simple stuff where God's from. Now get this, pretty simple stuff where you're from. Boy, I didn't get hardly any amens, and that was worth a lot of amens. Really simple stuff where you're from. You're from that realm. You're God's child. You are a gift here. You are on loan. You are an alien from another world, but a very beneficial alien, a loving alien, one that's been sent on the very same mission as Jesus. He said, Father, as you have sent me, I am sending them. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Our excuses are about to be over. They're about to be over. Tommy's coming out of the chair. I'm prophesying and I'm declaring Tommy is going to stand in this spot right here and give his testimony in articulate speech how Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, set him free. Jesus' name. And that's where we're going. So come up higher, and he says, now you've got to be taught by the Spirit that I sent you, that's from that same realm that you're from. Now he's talking about more than just holy living. Thank God for holy living. He's talking about more than be nice. He's talking about more than give once in a while. You know, open a wallet, get some WD-40, get that thing, give once in a while, you know, stuff like that. Okay. I like that lesson when I do it anyway. Now he's talking about healing the sick, casting out devils, really. Being trained like it's normal. Normal Christianity. Well, the first level of that is the gifts of the Spirit. And that's what we talked about this morning. And I really recommend that message to you. It'll be available within 24 hours. But the gifts of the Spirit is the first level. And the reason that's so wonderful is that... What book is it where the gifts of the Spirit are? You know, all of the information in that 1 Corinthians? That's the most carnal church in the New Testament. That's the one that Paul says, I'd like to give you meat. I can't even give you a burger. All I can give you is milk, you split, divided, thumb-sucking, carnal thing. Well, maybe it wasn't quite that bad, but anyway. Well, he said, you're babies, don't they thumb-suck, you know? You little split, carnal babies. Yet he says in that same letter, you come behind in no gift. And the gifts were being manifested in them. They were just trying to out-gift each other. You think you can tongues over there? I can tongues over here. You know, and they're out-tonguing, out-prophesying, out there shouting each other down now and everything. Just a bunch of kids with gifts. And Paul's trying to set that in order in chapters 12, 13, and 14. He says, look, you guys could use a little love instead of trying to out-gift each other. There's a better way. Let me show you a more excellent way called love. But he didn't say abandon the gifts while you're on the quest for love. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Didn't he covet earnestly the best gifts? So we read this morning again about the gifts of the Spirit and how they're given to only a few. No? The gifts of the Spirit, they're given to every man to profit a few. To profit with all, everybody. Now, in a particular service, it may be true that God may use, God, names just leave me during this. People I've known for 20 years. Marinelle, I've got that one. He may use Marinelle in a word of prophecy. Okay? And Joe, in a gift of healing. Joe thinks, I have arrived. Did he use Marinelle to heal that guy? No, I don't think so. God used me. See, so that's for that very purpose is why the very next service, he might use Helena in the gifts of healing, and he just has to sit there. God doesn't use him at all. Why is God doing that? So they wouldn't be so puffed up. If you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, puffed up was the problem. They were all puffed up like a bunch of little kids. He says you need to quit being so puffed up. Well, that's why God... So in any one service, you just never know who God might use. Now, it is true that you'll find this out with time. It seems like certain people have certain propensities for certain gifts. I remember certain ministers that, especially healing for cancer, would just seem to become more natural to them. Others healing for ears, you know, deafness and things. And others prophecy and so forth. But anybody can be used in any gift at any time. It doesn't mean it's only like he'll only use Marinelle in prophecy. No, in that service. He was trying to, eventually you get to chapter 14, and what he's trying to do there is bring order to the service. Okay? I'll be honest with you, he's used Sue and I in the gifts. Practically all of them. I haven't gone through here yet and documented everything, but I can just about every gift over the years. But it is, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, it's as the Spirit wills. But I'll tell you what I'm thinking after all these years. I think He's willing a lot more than we're obeying. I think He's wanting to do a lot more stuff than what's getting done. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about at Starbucks. I'm talking about at Walmart. I'm talking about in the Navajo Reservation. I'm talking about, what's that, Big Cape? What? Big Nose Cape. God, I love it that Halo Jordan plays it. Big Nose Cape. God, let it be. I get to be there one of these days when that happens. I would love that. Big Nose Cape. And they invited him back to sing Jesus to all them drunks, gamblers and whatever. Praise God, I love it. That's my Jesus. Hallelujah. So we were talking this morning about the gifts of the Spirit, how you are already a candidate, all of the gifts. And then we coupled that up a little bit with Wednesday night, which I'm just not going to have time to get into that. The title of Wednesday night was, I Am Dwells in You. So I'm going to go through it again. So quite a few were not here this morning. How many of you would call yourself Spirit-filled Christians? Most hands go up, you know. Would you say, another way of saying that same thing, you are filled with the Spirit? Yes, okay. Would you say that the Spirit is the Holy Spirit? So most of us would say, oh yes. You use that phrase, I'm Spirit-filled. You are filled with the third member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is just as much I am that I am as God the Father is I am that I am. And God the Son is I am that I am. So hold out your hands. Spirit-filled, are you? Say this, I am that I am fills me. I am that I am dwells in my hands. When I lay my hands on people, I am that I am is laying His hands on them too. Now what's possible? We talked this morning about the Ark of the Covenant. Did you know the Ark of the Covenant is a type and a shadow of the Spirit, Spirit-filled believer? Absolutely it is. You read about it in the Old Testament. Man, they'd bring that thing into battle. The enemy feared the Ark of the Covenant more than anything. They'd bring that Ark of the Covenant out, and I mean the power would go out from that thing. The enemies would be scattered, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be in Tulsa every time you get out of bed. You are the Ark of the Covenant. Why was that thing made out of wood? Because that's the type of your fleshly body. But it was overlaid in gold. What was on the inside of it? First thing, the Ten Commandments. I will write my laws in their hearts and put my laws in their minds. You don't have to look externally to find the code of the Ten Commandments. He's already put them on the inside of you, you little ark. What else is in there? Aaron's rod that budded. That, we use the word rod. It's a stick cut off a tree. What happens to a limb when you cut it off a tree? It dies. That was you. But that dead stick budded with new life. And that's what happened to you when you got born again. The very life of God is on the inside of you. And I got another news for you. I've been listening to Pastor Dave's Born Again Trail again. Every time I get to that one message, I want to throw the iPod out the window. Because Dave takes all my excuses away. He gets the verse in Romans chapter 8 where it says that same Spirit, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And that's not the Holy Ghost he's talking about. He's talking about the very same Spirit that He quickened Jesus from death to life. That's the same life He quickened you with. You don't have some lesser life in you. You got the same life. I want to think Jesus had something more, but He didn't. I want to think Paul. Please tell me Paul had more than I did. Somebody please. Nope. Take that iPod. But I know it's truth. Take it, Gary. Eat it. Well, not eat the iPod, but anyway, eat truth. Man, we're coming into who we are. Where we're from, why we're here. That same life is on the inside of us. Now see the difference? Yes, sir. One of the main differences, you still have a body from this earth. Now Jesus plainly said, all authority, He said in King James it's power, but it's exousia. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore you go. Well, He has all authority in heaven and earth. But to exercise authority on earth, you have to have a body from the earth. If you'll notice, from the time He was glorified, as soon as He got that body that's not from this earth, He never did one miracle. He never cast out one devil. He never did anything. Now, He could function supernaturally. He could walk through walls and stuff like that. But He didn't take any authority over anything on earth, because He didn't have a body from earth anymore. Then we read in Ephesians Wednesday night, His body, the church, He is the head of the church, which is His, say it, body that fills all in all. The only body that Jesus has from this earth to exercise authority through is ours. We have not been waiting on God. God has been waiting on us. And He needs us to do it before we go to heaven. You've got to have a body from here to exercise authority here. That's why I had to leave us in these things. I used to be so mad, but now I understand. Which means Dave was right again. I do have to fast. Throw that iPod out the window too. But I have learned more this past year about fasting than I ever have before. How am I doing? Are we doing okay? That's where we are. And we're getting really close, see? Now, these gifts of the Spirit, we went through some of them this morning. I gave examples. I'm not going to do that one again. Am I? I'll do it this way. Now, as I've been restudying then these gifts, that's where we're starting. The gifts of the Spirit. As I've been studying them very closely, I got another homework assignment. He has me going through every miracle, everything that Jesus did, looking precisely at what He really did. You know what I'm finding? I'm not through with it yet, but what I'm finding, He Himself did not do anything supernatural. It was simple things, and we're going to look at it here in a minute. Things that any one of us could do. But when He would obey that and do that, it released the power of the Holy Spirit to do the supernatural thing that we can't do. Now, for example, don't write these down. I'm not going to read them like I did this morning. You can look them up later. You'll read this account in Matthew 9, verses 27 through 31. This is where two blind men came and they asked the Lord to have mercy on them. Jesus asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And this time, it says, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they got healed. Now, so on that one, he touched their eyes. If you have hands, hold them up. Wiggle your fingers. You got hands and fingers? Can you touch eyes? You're a candidate to do what Jesus did. You're a candidate to do it. I know you guys have fingers, but anyway. Then he spoke the word of commandment. He just spoke. And that's all he did in that case. And two of them. It was a twofer. Two men, blind eyes open. All right. The next one, you don't have to look these up. Matthew 12:22. Now the next guy that they brought that was blind, he had a devil. Not every case is born blind, like a birth defect. Not every case is a sickness, like some kind of sickness took away their sugar diabetes. In Florida is a major cause of blindness down there. Sugar diabetes, that all carbohydrate diet that is very common in the Spanish culture. Well, it causes sugar diabetes to run rampant down there, and you start losing toes, and then eventually you start losing your eyesight. You know. Well, there's coming a revival of healing of blind eyes in South Florida, is what I'm saying. You hear me? And anywhere else that it needs to be. But it's not always sickness like that or a birth defect like the other fella we're going to look at. This one, sometimes it's a devil. Well, how do you know? I recommend listening to your father's voice. I recommend a book by this. Who is that guy? Tim, we heard about him. Dave Roberson. He's got this book called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, and how you can learn to hear the voice of God for yourself. See, we do have a blanket command. It's for every believer. Go, a believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do have a blanket command, of course. But in that command is the leadership of the Spirit. In that command, and you follow, you obey what he does, and we see Jesus doing exactly that. Well, in this case here, in order to get the man free, what did he do? He cast the devil out. It doesn't do any good to touch the guy's eyes and spit and do everything you did the last time if the problem is a devil. The devil will sit there and laugh at you while you spit on the eyes. When it's a devil, you got to cast it out. Well, how do I know? The Holy Ghost will tell you. You're not alone. You're not an orphan. Okay, Mark 8. You don't have to look these up. This is the one where they... I love this one. They brought this blind guy to him and he took him out of town. It says he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. I told a story this morning of one time when Travis Klingman, there was this guy with two knives that was known to be a drug addict and a murderer guy. I mean, he's a really bad guy, and he was threatening to kill one of the co-workers with Travis Klingman. Travis saw the guy. Pulled over and said, get in the truck. And the guy had a knife in each hand. Get in the truck. Put the knives in the back and get in the truck. And the guy did it. Clang, clang, goes the knives in the back. Get in the truck. Travis drives him way out in the desert where you can't even see town or nothing, which is not hard around Othello. Lots of desert. Later when the guy was telling the testimony, he says, I didn't know if he was taking me out there for him to kill me or me to kill him. Sometimes you got to take them out of town. Travis says he did. He thinks the Lord did it so the guy would know he wasn't afraid. Travis is not alone. He has someone with him. End result, the guy got saved and is working with Travis in the ministry now. Isn't that something? But see, sometimes I know Travis. I know why he took him out of town. The Holy Ghost told him to take him out of town. That's the way he functions. Well, apparently the Lord told Jesus to take this guy and take him out of town. So I told Tim earlier, I said, I don't care, Tim, if I'm right in the middle of a prayer line at the October conference, if I'm standing in front of one of them and God says, take them out of town, you're going to have to get somebody else to finish the line. I'm taking them out of town, whatever the Lord says. Anyway, so took him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes. Now, you're blind. You don't know what's happening. You're standing. He took you out of town. You're standing there and suddenly you hear. Maybe you practice a couple of times. Yeah, okay, it's working. You're wondering, what in the world? And all of a sudden, pow, pow. You get two loogies running down your eyes there. You know. We just read this stuff like it's not real. You may have to come up and spit on somebody's eyes. What? What? Now I'm telling you, don't do it if it's not the Spirit of God, okay? This is not the... Take your trips to the barber shop before you get there, okay? Okay? And for sure, don't be hitting anybody like Smith Wigglesworth done. Trust me, you're not walking where Smith walked. Now, you may walk there, okay? You may walk there, but don't start there thinking you're there. See, we tend to make formulas. If we'd have been there and we'd have seen that, well, how do you get a blind man healed? First thing you do is you take him out of town.
What?
Yep, you got to get them in the vehicle. You can't heal. I can see this whole doctrine. There are no healing of blind people in cities. Am I telling the truth? Isn't that the way it happens? Yep, you got to take them out in the country. God only heals in the country. And they'll add all kinds of man's reasonings with that. Well, God doesn't like smog. Can't heal with smog, nope. That's the crazy stuff that we tend to make formulas when the only thing really required is to hear and obey. Hear and obey. So anyway, he spit on the guy's eyes. He put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. And the guy said, well, I see partially. I see men like walking like trees, you know. Well, that's not good. And it's not wrong to pray again. Jesus put his hands on him the second time. And this time, he made him look up. He didn't tell him, he says it made him look up. So I'm thinking like I've seen Dave, you know, like maybe have his hands on his and kind of tilt his head upward maybe, I don't know. But made him look up, and this time the guy saw. So case one, he touched their eyes and he just spoke the word of commandment. Case two, he had to cast the devil out. Case three, he takes the guy out of town, spits in the man's eyes, puts his hands on him and makes him look up. Does this sounding like a formula to you? Let's do another one. Blind Bartimaeus. Y'all know that story. I won't even read it all, but I think it's the amazing thing about blind Bartimaeus, he was a legal beggar and he had a cloak. That cloak was his recognized official garment for begging. He was licensed to beg, if you'll allow me. A legal beggar. But when he found out that Jesus was calling him up for prayer, first thing he did before the prayer, says he threw that cloak away. I think Jesus saw that, said, this man's got faith. He knows he's not going to go back needing that cloak. Now, some people want to get healed and still beg. No. I didn't say that out loud. I know I didn't say that out loud. They want to get healed and still get their disability from the government. Yeah. So, I didn't say that out loud either. I know I didn't. So in that case, Jesus asked him what he wanted. I think it's so odd, strange. Here this blind man is walking up, probably being led by the hand. Leads him up, blind as he can be. Here's Jesus. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that something? Jesus wants to hear your faith. You know? He said, well, I want to be healed, that I might receive my sight. And all Jesus did in this case was just speak. Didn't spit. No loogies. No taking him out of town. No casting out. And it wouldn't be something if here Jesus starts trying to cast out a devil. Well, that worked before. It worked because that guy had a devil. This one does not. Point. Go thy way, thy faith is made thee whole. So far, has Jesus done anything that you can't physically do? I mean, he used his hands, he spit, he has spoken, and he had feet to walk the guy out of town. I think there's nothing there that we could not do. The difference is we've got to hear and obey. Hear and obey. Even if it is embarrassing, I'm going to go ahead and tell this one again. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing this, but I'm going to tell it again. A year ago in Ocala, I got one of these really unusual instructions. Small church, praying, this really nice, well-dressed lady, just a southern, and really a genteel, have-it-all-together type southern lady, snow white hair, about probably my age or a little older, and you know, you just want to be respectful around a person like that. She's standing in front of me in the prayer line, and God says, stick your finger in her mouth. Now, you know, you're trying to exude faith. You're trying to be a person of faith, you know. So on the outside, I'm not showing any strain. On the inside, the conversation went something like this. Are you crazy? I'm not going to put my finger in this woman's mouth. That must be a devil. I rebuke you, devil. God, is that really you? I don't know what to do here. I'm not putting my finger. Lord! Something like that. So I was going to do what most of us have been doing. What is that? Ignore it. Yeah, just ignore it and do a nice Gary prayer and go on to the next person. You know what I mean by Gary prayer? Same kind of prayer you'd pray. You know. I was going to ignore it. He said it again. So I'm half apologizing. Ma'am, I'm just trying to obey God here. I hope this isn't too embarrassing. And I asked her, do you want me to obey God? Of course, she doesn't know what God is saying, you know. Am I getting her permission without her knowing, you know? Oh, yes. Go, you just obey God. So, you know, yes. Oh, God. So I reach out with my left hand, and I get her little chin, and I open her mouth. Take my other hand with her finger, and I go, boop, right in her mouth. You would have seen her little eyes, like a frog. And I would love to say at this point that I heard the thunder roll and lightnings of God flashed from heaven and angels appeared and feathers manifested. I'd like to say, and she fell under the power, and you know what really happened? Nothing. Nothing. She didn't fall. She didn't even tremble. She didn't do nothing. It looked at me with frog eyes. So I said, thank you. And I went on to the next person, and I was just wishing I could get out of the meeting right then, you know, just leave. After the service, we all go to the IHOP. She's sitting real close to me. There's Sue sitting next to me, and that lady's next, I think. And I was just still kind of apologizing. Ma'am, I'm trying to learn this. I hope that wasn't too embarrassing. And she says, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But she was watching me eat my food. And she said, you might want to wipe the lipstick off your finger. For a year, I got to tell you, the devil beat my brains out about that one. Sure, man of God. Sure, man of God. That wasn't God told you to do that. There was no power. That was another trip to the barbershop. No. You know, on and on and on. I'd have trouble sleeping at night sometimes remembering that and just feeling like a complete idiot. Go back down there this year, and the pastor says, that same lady, now she couldn't come this year because it was graduation night, and she had a granddaughter or a granddaughter, I think it was, graduating either from high school or college. I don't know which. So she couldn't come, but she sent an offering by, she'd make sure this offering goes in for Gary, and be sure and tell him that what he doesn't know is, for 10 years, I've had chronic sores inside my mouth. From the night that he put his finger in my mouth and prayed, those sores have been reduced by about 80%. Praise the Lord. I wish I'd have known that a year ago, you know. So then I asked the Lord, I said, there's still 20% left. Lord, did I miss it? Was I supposed to swirl? Which I'd be willing to do if I, you know, at least now. I don't know if I would have then, but now. To me, that just so fits with what I see how Jesus did it. How Jesus did it. Hear and obey. Just hear and obey. Okay, another one. You don't have to look these up. John 9. This is the man blind from birth. You remember the one Dave teaches us about? What did he do? Kick his mother's ribs too hard. They wanted to know, did this man sin or his parents, you know? Neither one. But in order for this blind man to be healed, it says, when he spat on the ground. Here we go again. And he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, did he give that instruction to any of the other four? Can you see this is not a formula? Even though we have a blanket command, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Go and preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. We have all of those instructions as blanket commands. But what, just like Dave says, on that journey, learn the walk of the Spirit. He hasn't had you here all these years not to hear His voice. And as you, I don't always at every person, I mean, if I don't hear anything, of course, you just pray a Gary prayer. You pray, be healed or whatever it is if you're not hearing anything. But if you, where we've been missing it, and I'm sure it's not just me. I believe where we've been missed, I believe God's been saying, and we haven't been recognizing it for what it really is, that it's really God, or we've been hearing it and ignoring it. And that won't work. That season is over, people. That season is over. All right. Now, hang on. In this time that we have left, I don't teach this lesson heavily. It's called, at my website, this is in the face-to-face. It's called Coveting the Gifts. In there, I share with you how the Lord told Sue and I how He was going to use us in the gifts. And the reason I don't share it is I don't want to make a law out of this. I'm not saying this is exactly how He's going to use you in the gifts. You know, but it is how He's used us. And over all these years, this was in 1998. Since that time, I mean, we had hardly any manifestations in 98. Since that time, I can go item by item by item through here, and I've seen Him use us in these gifts. And sure enough, they came just the way that He said they would come. So, I'm going to go through it quickly to give you a preview, or let me say it this way, whet your appetite. That as you spend time in prayer, listen, that you have the same teacher from that realm who is teaching the real, yes sir, who is teaching the real you that is also from that realm. Now, you want to know the real problem? I wish I had my earth head. I don't have an earth head with me. I'm going to have to bring my earth head. Hand me one of those reserve seats. Signs. Hallelujah. I hardly ever move. Poor cameraman goes, huh? He's been teaching for an hour and then he moved. It's hard on him back there. He's doing a good job. Here's the problem. See, the part of you that's born again is your spirit. The part of us that we want to be in control is our earth head, our mind. Remember that lesson I did all those years ago, servants upon horses? See, for the unregenerated man, his mind better be on top of the horse, because if that wicked, evil spirit is allowed to run free, we could all be Hitlers. Okay, so God's original intention, which the horse represents your life, His original intention was for the prince, the spirit man, to be up on the horse. And for the mind, or you could say the soul, the intellect, the emotions, all that part of man, to be the servant running alongside the horse going, Master, can I serve you? Can I serve you? In many ways, that soul would be like a laptop today. It's supposed to be your servant. It's not supposed to run your life. But see, once we get born again, the spirit man is the one that's supposed to say, all right, soul, come down off of there. You've run the show long enough. And the spirit man is supposed to get up now and start hearing directly from God. And God will direct through the spirit the reins on the horse. This is the way my life's going to go. That's a good teaching. It's still good all these years later, all right? But our problem, and I'm going to say Gary's problem because I'm sure it's not you. Every time I hold this little, I got a little, it's like a sheet of paper here. Every time I hold it up and cover my head, this represents my natural mind. I like to call this guy Earth Head. Earthhead wants, he still wants to run the show. He wants to run the show. God told me one time, Tim has this document, and I may have to pay a ransom to get it back someday, but you remember? He told me one day, I was asking all these questions that I thought were so spiritual. You know how he answered me back? Now, this is pretty close. He says, I don't always answer every question of the soul just so it can continue to be Lord over your spirit. I got a soul slap in love. What was happening there? Okay, I'm gonna, I want to know this, and I want to know that, and I want to know whatever. Tell me this. Now I've got this thing up covering my head. This is Earth Head, and it Alan the way Alan teaches this is perfect. Earth Head only understands really Old Covenant. That guy in the Old Testament, he understands God. He doesn't really understand Father. You understand the difference? And my soul, if you're not, well, I want to know this and I want to know that, and I'm going to sit right here for an hour until you tell me. And you can sit there for eternity because God doesn't communicate directly normally with your earth head. These things are spiritually discerned. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now that you've been born again, you receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That you can freely know the things that are given to you by God. The natural man cannot know them, for their foolishness to him. These things are spiritually discerned. He wants to communicate with his child, and that's the real you on the inside. That's why he gave you a teacher from that realm to talk with his real child, which is also from that realm. And you can know the things that are getting Tommy out of the chair, blind eyes open, whatever it is. You have a capacity to know things beyond these three physical senses. I'm preaching good, aren't I? Hallelujah. I feel like I'm getting younger. This message is making me younger. I'm full of fire and vinegar again. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we're getting close to something. My earth head is the one that keeps getting in the way. I want to know this. Tell me about my car. I need a car. I'm knocking. You said to whoever knocks, I need a car. And that thinks you need to sit here and let me teach you how to get Tommy out of the chair. I remember a minister, we don't use names anymore because when you do, sometimes it'll automatically turn some people off. But a minister that to me is a father to me, that he wouldn't know me, but I sure know him. I heard him say years ago, he says, you can get to the place, I'm not saying I'm there, but you can get to the place where you can so discern his voice that you can be led by the Spirit even in the most simple things of life. Now, let me just tell you an example. I wouldn't normally do this. I'm going to do it in a nice way. How many of you know? Have y'all noticed our older car? It's not from this century. I love the car, and the lady that gave it to us is a wonderful lady. And it's the one I told you about. She, quite a few years ago now, she called and said, I've got a low mileage car that I'll give to you if you'll come get it. I said, well, good. Where is it? New York City. Sure enough, I was able to get a $99 one-way flight on Southwest. And the airport was only 5 miles from her house. And went up there and got the car. But we've been driving it all these years, but now it's 19 years old. Okay. What really got me thinking about a newer car, I was watching a show the other day. I saw it through a Radio Shack window. That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. And on the program, this young lady was wanting to get an estimate to have her car painted. And the guy says, well, what kind of car you have? And I'm going to say something different in case you have that car. But it was a 1992 model something or other. Okay. He said, lady, I won't recommend it. Said the cost of the paint job is worth more than the car. And he said, if you ever get a car from this century, come and see me. It dawned on me. My car's not from this century. Well, we had another lady that was wanting to buy, help us, you know, she was wanting to buy us a used car. Wanting to buy us a used car, had a certain price range we could stay in. We were looking for cars even before I went to Florida.
A used new car,
yes. We, you know, I don't like buying a new car and losing $5,000 driving it off the lot, okay? But a newer model from this century car. And we drive a lot. I just got through, you know, I had to rent a car to go to Ohio and back and Florida and back. And we need a car. So I had been looking at cars, and most of you know, I've had, my dad had town cars. We've had town cars a lot. Be honest with you, in my mind, I wasn't even thinking town car anymore. We're going something different, you know. But see, on these trips, and I'd gotten with a salesman before, and we had looked at cars, but not any town cars. I mean, I was looking at all these other cars. On the way back from Florida, I got all this time just praying, listen to Dave, throw the iPod out the window, pray. No, turn around, go get the iPod. No, I never did throw it out. But listen to Dave, pray. And just a one-liner, just out of the blue, don't remember asking or nothing. The Lord says, your next car will be a town car. I said, huh, who knew? News to me. I didn't even care, you know. I mean, so that was Sunday, driving back. I think it was Tuesday morning, I get a call from that salesman. And he says, Gary, I think I have found your car. Because we had given him all these parameters, you know. I think I found it. I said, what kind is it? It's a town car. I should have just said, just go ahead and write it up. I'll be over there to sign the check. Because with sight unseen, because I already knew. Sure enough, it's sitting out in the parking lot now.
Hallelujah.
Even on the smallest things. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. How many of you remember Dr. Dinner Karin when he used to come? And they used to call him the Benny Hinn of India. He had such a ministry. And he told his testimony here, so I'm not telling anything out of school. Dr. Dinner Karin, quite a few years ago, was in a dilemma. He was needing a different car. And the Lord told him, buy a Mercedes, certain class. I don't know those numbers, but whatever. It was a certain class, expensive, heavy car. And his response was, Lord, that car is too expensive. I can't buy a car like that. That's just too expensive. I can't. So he wound up buying a smaller car. I don't know what. And within a year or two, there was a horrible accident and his daughter got killed in that car. And Dr. Dinnikrin, by his own mouth, said, had we had that heavier Mercedes, I think she would have survived. It's best to hear and obey, even when it comes to the simple things of life. See, I don't, at our stage now, Sue and I don't care if it's one of those smart cars, which is like a piece of a car. You know, you have need one for each foot, you know. I've got a granddaughter that drives one. She just loves it. But anyway, I really, see, something. I don't care. I just want the car. Only He knows the rest of the plan. Only He knows how much we're going to be driving. Only He knows what's coming. I want that car. That's the one I want. And I don't care. You know, other than that, even when it comes to the smallest things of life. Now, we're not robots. I could choose, say, nope, I want a Jaguar. Oh, yeah, that's really what I need at age 67 is a Jaguar or a Corvette. I could do that. That's not the same, people. It's just not the same. There's nothing in me that wants to go that way. I want the car. I want the one that fits the plan, whatever His plan is. That's the one I want. Now then, after, you know, it's like you're, after the dust settles, we go, wait a minute, those don't get very good gas mileage. And then it's like, Jane, see the ball. Now the same God who says that's the car can probably afford to fill it up. You know? I don't think He wants us worried about that either. See? Doesn't that make sense? This gets easy. I like this. There's a good book on the subject. What was the name of that book again? Red, you know, had something to do with the Green Line. Oh, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power by Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Got 15 minutes left. This is to whet your appetite about Him teaching you the gifts of the Spirit. My purpose in reading this is not that you go out and think this is precisely the way He's going to lead you or use you in the gifts. What I'm interested in is whetting your appetite for you to go pray until He does tell you. Because He will. He is your teacher. He is your trainer. So, awareness of my presence is vital and key to operating in the gifts. Understand that I am with you whether you are aware of it or not. But lack of awareness brings lack of faith. Lack of awareness brings lack of expectation. Lack of awareness causes the leadership that comes by vision and by the inward witness and by words spoken in your spiritual ear to be dismissed. Do not dismiss these things, for it is by these that I manifest the gifts through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the prophet meant when he said, my anointing comes as you stay close to my Spirit. One of the things you'll see in the hula hoop teaching, when I do this, God is so near. We read in the Bible, He's like closer than your breath, you know. In Him we live and move and have our being, but the more I'm understanding, He is. You can't see me. I'm holding my hand right up close to my face. He is here. He is with us. He's in you, but He's with you. You are the Ark of the Covenant. His presence is there all the time. Stay close to my Spirit. Remember those words. He spoke the truth to you. As you are constantly aware that I am with you, as much as you would be aware that any other person was with you, then know that my gifts are yours. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Do not dismiss my leadings, my witness, my visions, my voice, for these are things by which I operate the gifts through you. What I show you, do. What I say, say, say. Where I say go, go. How I show you to act, act. Now these are the things like we saw today. Take him out of town. Spit on the ground. Make clay. Put it on his eyes. We'll get into some others later. He says, if you dismiss these things, I cannot manifest the gifts through you. But if you are aware that I am ever with you and that these things are from me, and you perform your promise to me that you will obey without question, if you will do that, then I will never fail you. I will never fail to manifest the mind of Christ in your midst, says the Spirit of grace. So we may not finish this. Let me just start. He starts giving me, I never expected this. He gave me personal instructions on how I was to expect the gifts to function through Sue and I. He started off with the word of wisdom. He says, you will find that the word of wisdom operates primarily in vision form. Whether it be an internal vision, such as what you describe as teaching visions, or whether it be by an open vision, expect them both. You will find that the word of wisdom also comes very often by dreams. You will have to learn which of these dreams are from me and which are from natural sources. And let me tell you, that takes some labor. I have been through that. Not every dream you have is from God. Not every dream you have is from a devil. Some of them are just pizza. Okay? Alright? But you will learn. You'll learn. I've had dreams that were so God that we can't get into in 10 minutes. And I've had dreams that were so not God. So anyway, you have to learn. He said you have to learn. When a word of wisdom comes by vision or by dream, very often you will also hear my voice speaking to your ear, interpreting what you are seeing. Previews. I had one of these very things happen this week since I got back. When you hear me talk about the portal in the coming weeks, the portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, it came by a dream with his voice this week. You're going to like it. And it's a word of wisdom to all of us about what's coming. So he says, when a word of wisdom comes by vision or by dream, very often you will also hear my voice speaking to your ear, interrupting what you're seeing. Sometimes you will hear my voice, sometimes not. But learn to trust these internal visions and these dreams concerning the future. You will become more and more expert with practice. Everyone say, with practice. That means you didn't do nothing. Did you hear me? Practice. Act on them. As you expect me to manifest the word of wisdom all the time, not just in services. And I think how he wants to close this, just an a perfect example that took 5 years to make. I know most of you have heard this. You're going to hear it again. This very thing happened, a word of wisdom, standing here at a prayer line 7 years ago. And this lady that I had never seen before was standing there, just coming down the line. Now, get it, it's a conference. The place is packed. I'm on a microphone. Everybody can hear what I'm saying. And most of the time, you're just praying Gary prayers. You know what I mean by that? You're just praying, and if God has a word or something, then you share that. But I stand in front of this one lady, and this very thing happens. A movie starts to play on the inside. I see it just as plain as anything. So I'm trying to act on it. I'm trying to learn this. And I said, ma'am, I don't know you at all. I said, but I see you standing there like you are, but like almost like in silhouette form. And behind you, I see a circle, but it's kind of a raggedy edge, imperfect circle. And it's full of horse prints. I said, does that mean anything to you? Now I'm on a microphone. Does that mean anything to you? No. Next person. Here we go again. Now this time it was 5 years. The enemy beat my brains out about that vision. That wasn't God. You're not a man of God. You couldn't hear God with your left foot. You know, well, you can't anyway, but just on and on and on it goes, you know. 5 years this devil's beating me up. Well, during that 5 years, I started traveling to the Northwest with doing some meetings with Travis Klingman. And there's also a TV station there, and they sometimes want me to come and record some 30-minute sessions, so I would go over there. Well, in the process of that, I found out that lady's husband, they're from that area, her husband works at that TV station. And I wound up taking them to lunch, and she was very kind not to bring up the prophecy. Every bite I was afraid she's going to, but anyway. But then, after 5 years, I'm going to that station again to record some services. And she's standing out front, just standing there, waiting. And I can't tell from the expression on her face if she's happy or not happy, if I'm in trouble or not in trouble. Oh, God. So we get there, and I step out, and I walk up, kind of sheepishly, you know. She says, do you remember me? Yes, ma'am. Do you remember that prophecy you gave me 5 years ago? Lady, I will never forget that prophecy that I gave you 5 years ago. She said, good, get in the van. So Travis and I, we get in the van. We drive about 6 blocks away. And we come to this vacant lot, like 2 or 3 vacant lots there together, open. But it's a residential area. There's houses around, and about a block that away, or a block and a half maybe. No, it's about a block. There is a row of 2-story apartment buildings. And as we pull into this lot, there is a fence corral there with 2 horses in it. We pull up, get out of the van. She goes over. She says, now, do you have a video on your phone? I said, yes. She said, go ahead and start the video. And she starts explaining. She says, first off, pan this way. You see this corral? She said, this normally is a pipe corral with these like 10-foot sections of pipe. Y'all ever seen those? They hook them together. She said, it's a circle, but it's like an imperfect circle. Because it's normally pipe. Now, right now they had fence around it because they were having the pipe thing painted, okay? And they're going to, or repaired or something, going to bring it back. She says, now pan over that away. She said, do you see those? She didn't say that away. That's me. Pan that way. And that way was the apartment buildings where they live, 2-story apartments. She said, do you see that one right there? She's pointing at a certain window. I said, yeah. She said, that's my dining room. That's where we live. She said, if I was standing there at my dining room window and you were inside my apartment looking this way, you would see me standing there in silhouette form. And behind me, through the window, you would see this imperfect circle and it's full of horse prints. Now you say, why would God tell that? Well, what you don't know is these people really live by faith. They are going through that stage where money is staying away in great abundance. They really don't have any extra money. And with anything that's like a horse corral, there's expenses. Well, what happened, the man that owns that, he had learned that this lady and her husband had gotten involved with Travis in rodeo ministry. And what they do, they have corralling and they rope the goats and they rope the cows. And they get these young people, these teenagers involved in that. But the real goal is to win them to Jesus. And so this elderly fellow had heard that they were doing that. And come to her one day. He says, I heard about you working in rodeos to win young people to Jesus. Is that right? Yes. He says, in that work, would this corral, would it be a blessing to you? Would it help? Well, we could use a corral like this. He says, I don't have any children of my own to pass this on to. He says, would it be okay if I just gave it to you? Now, see, in the natural, because of the expenses, and they're already living from paycheck to paycheck, basically, in the natural, she might have said no because there's expenses. She said, I immediately remembered that word of wisdom that had come 5 years earlier, and I knew it was God's will. She said, yes, sir, we will gratefully receive that, and we'll use it for the glory of God. A word of wisdom. Well, what do you think? You lying devil! It was a word of wisdom the whole time, you liar! Fine, you're putting knots on your head if I could find you. Man. Now see, that just makes me more courageous for the next one. Oh, do you know who the ultimate example of that is? Is Isaiah? Did you know Isaiah prophesied, I think it was King Ahaz? The Lord shall show you a sign. What's the sign? A virgin shall conceive. Do you know how many hundreds of years that was after Isaiah died? What do you think they said about that prophecy? False prophet. False, 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 false. Did a virgin conceive? Was it a true prophecy? Don't be afraid to step out in the gifts. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to pray, listening for this kind of teaching. We just touched on one. Listening. See how, you see how that came by a vision? Exactly what he said. A vision. And, you know, all I did was describe it. But that's all that was necessary. When she needed that wisdom, it was still in her. She knew how to act on it and knew what the answer was. Is that great or what? Give the Lord a hand for His word. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.